It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
This is Trident Talk.
Swing, sock, way deep out to left field, catch a ball.
From foul pole to foul pole.
Reaches up, dives, and he makes the catch. Holy smokes.
A deeper look at your Seattle Mariners on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
Well, happy Sunday morning to you. Welcome to Trident Talk. We have another fun show for you coming up today. A little batting practice going on in the background on a Sunday morning as the Mariners get set to take on the Brewers in the final game of this three-game series. Mariners will then head to Toronto for three games against the Blue Jays. Speaking of getting ready for Toronto, if you ever wanted to know what it takes for the Mariners to get ready for an upcoming series, we have Sam Reinertsen here to talk about that in a few minutes. He's the advanced man for the Mariners. Super fascinating conversation about scouting the opponents, what it takes to get ready, how it works with the coaching staff, the whole thing. So that conversation's coming up in a few minutes. That's a really good one. We also get a chance to meet Colin Snyder, one of the newest Mariners out of the bullpen. He's pitched really well. Cody Bolton has pitched really well early on in their tenure with the Mariners. So we're going to find out about Colin Snyder coming up in a few minutes. We'll chat with Greg Green coming up in a few minutes as well, get some thoughts on what's coming up on the upcoming homestand when the Mariners return. Take on the Cubs coming back and also the Cincinnati Reds after the three-game series against the Blue Jays. Some fun stuff going on at the yard, so we'll touch on that. Coming up first, though, Shannon Dreher, really great chat with Cal Raleigh, wide-ranging conversation. And they start the conversation with the importance, especially from a catcher's perspective, speaking of Colin Snyder and Cody Bolton, getting to know his teammates early on in spring training, not only for when the season starts out of the gates, but also during the course of the season. We've seen it so many times, especially with bullpen guys, how guys come up, they become anchors of the staff. So really important time, spring training, for Cal Raleigh to get to know his teammates.
It's good to just kind of know everybody, I'd say. We do those every year. Try to get to know people, understand, their past, where they're from, learn more about who they are as a person so that we can relate and kind of get ahead of the curve there. And I think we do a good job of that. So it's kind of important to know who you're playing next to and, not only just what kind of baseball player they are, what kind of person, what makes them tick. And if that's something that can help us later in the year, help me relate to somebody to try to get to them or anybody else for that matter, if it can help them relate to each other is always good for us. So, yeah.
It's a game where you're together 7-8 months of the season, literally every day. It can't be overlooked.
No, it can't. And it's important, like I said, being a catcher, you already kind of have that relationship with pitchers. And, it's obviously important to get to know all your new guys as well. And like I said, you never know which ones it's going to be. In camp, there's a lot of, we've seen in the past, guys who have started out in Tacoma come up and a couple weeks in, they become one of the biggest parts of our bullpen. You've seen it in the past with like Atopa, Gabe Spire, Paul Sewald, Penn Murphy. Like, you've seen guys that start the year in Tacoma and or in the minor leagues and get to know them a little bit in camp, and then they come up and have a great year for you and become an anchor on your team. So that's kind of why we do those things, so we can get to know people.
What's your favorite part of your baseball day?
The game has got to be my favorite, but I think I love the routine aspect of it. I love getting to the field. I love doing the same thing every single day. I love being I feel like as a baseball player, you got to love the process and you got to love the routine of what you do or you're not going to perform. You're not going to love the game. So I think falling in love and with the process, with the routine helps you stay calm, helps you be prepared for the game, and that kind of makes you go into autopilot mode. So I feel like early on in my career, it was I never had a good routine, never had a good schedule. I was kind of trying to find myself in the sense of, what do I need to do that's going to help the team today, or what's going to give me my best, you know, performance today? What is that? And it took a long time to figure out. And I think once you figure that out, you get a lot of peace of mind because you know throughout the day, everything I'm doing is geared up for 7 o'clock or whatever time the game is. So I'm, you know, eating lunch at this time. I'm doing meetings this time. I'm doing scouting reports this time. I do my hitting at this time. And I just love the way like I can go about it and the way I can do what I need every single day, check my boxes, check in with myself throughout the day. You know, you always have check-ins. You go from, you know, you get to the field, you check in with yourself. You get 4 hours out from the game, you check in with yourself. You get 2 hours, 1 hour. You're always doing those check-ins like, all right, am I ready for today? Like making sure you're getting yourself ready. So I think, you know, pointing to one part is hard. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, you kind of got to love all of it, especially as a catcher with everything you're doing. So, but it's just, it's a fun buildup. It's every day. It's something you can check in with yourselves. And when you're doing the same thing every day, when you're consistent with your work, you're going to be consistent with your play. So that's kind of what I like about it.
I love that answer.
Yeah.
Lastly, you were a part of the rebuild, but you were drafted to be where you're at and doing what you're at right now. And you also saw what was going on. And so, I mean, you've been here from the start, just not always right up at the big league level. To now take a look around this clubhouse, and other guys have come in at different times. Ty France was a youngster at one time, and Logan was, you know, the young guy at one time. J.P. Crawford coming over from Philly and just, you know, really not being able to be what he wanted to be there and get here. Mitch, all of you, you don't, even Julio to an extent, you don't look at this group and see a young group anymore. This I walk in, I feel this is a veteran group right here. Mm-hmm. That's even without adding it. What does it mean to you to be a part of this, you know, I'm talking about the core of this team, mm-hmm. and it's grown, and you ended the draft, you did that, and last year you didn't make it, but you feel that, mm-hmm. and this year you have the opportunity to do what you ultimately want to do with everything beyond it and having grown together within this organization. What does that mean to you?
It means a lot. It's more, it just means a little more, especially when it's your team coming up. And, you know, we were very fortunate. We came in at a time where it was kind of, you know, I look at like a George, Logan, me, Julio. You look at some other guys, it was very, at the time, it wasn't like this. The big league team wasn't like what it is now. It was, you know, hey, we're paving the way for you guys. And, you know, we're very blessed in that sense of we got to move quickly. And, you know, they put a lot of eggs, you know, in our basket. And it was very fortunate. And, you know, I don't think any of us would ever thought we would be in the situation where we are now. I don't know. It's just crazy to think because you're coming up, you're never like, all right, it's going to be so long. You know, I know what I want to do in my dream, but like to see us like achieving that is really fun. And it just means more, like I said, when it's guys that you've come up with, guys that, you know, we've worked with for years and years now. And it's special. And it means a little more, especially when you're drafted by this team, when you come up with these guys, when you know these coaches. And I come in here every day and it's more, you know, it's like a family in here. So it's important, but, you know, at the same time, it's realizing now it's like, all right, now is go time. This is what's meant to happen. So it's all kind of came to this situation. And, you know, we've done everything we do at this point, and now it's time to go out there and perform and do what we were supposed to do. And this is kind of all how the plan is supposed to have been all along. And it's just, it's an exciting time, but now we got to go out there and we got to do what we've been trained to do for, I look at it now, it's 2018 till now, since I've been drafted. 2019 is kind of when it started all happening that first year. So it's kind of been the plan the whole time. And it's kind of cool to see, you know, guys he came up with being leaders and being somewhat veteran players in that clubhouse.
There was Cal Raleigh with Shannon Dreher. This is Triton Talk brought to you by Chevy Silverado and the all-new Silverado HD. We're going to talk some advanced scouting when we come back. We'll sit down with Sam Reinertsen. That comes up right after this.
You're listening to Trident Talk on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
It's Trident Talk brought to you by Chevy Silverado and the all-new Silverado HD. Sam Reinertsen is the coordinator of advanced scouting. Aaron Goldsmith and I had a chance to catch up to talk all about scouting the upcoming opponents.
Sam, this is our annual conversation with you. I'm glad this has become an annual tradition.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. Highlight of my year.
I know you got so much out of it last year. You asked to do it again.
Yeah, I came knocking down your door. Yes. Because Christmas Eve I called you and said, hey, let's do it.
It's not because I chased you down the hallway. Sam, come on.
No, yeah. Never that.
We're talking with Sam Reinertsen, who is the Mariners' manager of advanced scouting. Sam, scouting has come such a long way in a short period of time, the way teams are scouting now compared to 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Let's get the 30,000 foot view on how the Mariners prepare for a series, something that you're greatly involved in.
Yes. It takes a large group effort from all different vantage points, perspectives, groups in the front office, downstairs in the clubhouse, scouts, coaches, everybody has a hand in it. But the short version is we're trying to gather as much relevant, important information as possible, assimilate that information into a digestible form for the players to use out on the field and optimize their performance so that they can be kind of the natural athletes they are with, you know, a couple nuggets of helpful information that can give them a little bit slight edge.
The trick seems distilling the info, right? Because data-wise, we know just about everything at this point. There are data points for literally everything that happens. So how do you go about distilling it all down for what coaches and players want?
Yeah, I think it's through a lot of conversations with the players and coaches and what information they like, what information they think they can use out on the field. Because a lot of these guys coming up in the game, they have used that information on the field. And now it's about, okay, we have these resources and tools. We can get it to you. Just let us know what you think is the most impactful. So it's a lot of just learning through the players and coaches and what they like.
If you go back years and years ago, advanced scouts were always in the seats, right? They were always flying to the city where your next opponent will be and watching them in person, maybe like faxing reports back.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's now gone solely video for the most part? Mostly all video?
Well, there's still pro scouts out there in the field. Advance-wise, specifically, mm-hmm. typically we don't travel ahead of time looking at future opponents. What we do use is video. We do use data. We do use past experiences. But gone are the days of we're physically traveling one series ahead.
And I think when that shift started to happen, there was this outcry in baseball. How could you do that? This is how you do it. You have to have somebody in the seats. Tell us why, from your vantage point, the video is so powerful, the data is so powerful, and how it actually makes this an even better process.
Yeah, I think it's the access to a larger sample that you have over video and data. You can watch the span of a starting pitcher's 3 or 4 previous starts in a couple hours compared to if you're physically there, you're solely going off that start that you saw in person, which is helpful, and there's stuff that you pick up physically at the game that you can't on video. But I think the benefits of bringing in a larger sample is much, much better than just that one sole start that you saw in person.
When you are scouting a team, say a pitcher you're going against, how much do you weigh what you've seen most recently, maybe the last couple starts, compared to like a longer stretch, maybe over a month, month and a half?
Yeah, that's one of the trickiest parts of our job, I think, is to see what type of signal should we take from the recency, from their last start or two, compared to the last, you know, 2-3 months of the season. I think it depends on their performance. How do they fare with that approach? Do they have success? Did they struggle a little bit? You can look at the type of hitters that they were facing, the type of lineups that they were approaching. So, again, there's no one right answer to, oh, he did that start. It's going to translate over to us. But there's a couple, you know, flashpoints that you can look at that might forecast a little bit of the future.
We're talking with Sam Reinertsen. He's the Mariners' manager of advanced scouting. How do you break this responsibilities down? You have mm-hmm. three to four starting pitchers. You have a fleet of bullpen arms. You have all the hitters. I don't know if how much base running and fielding gets involved in this as well. How do you break that down manpower-wise to scout all that?
Yeah, I mean, specifically in the advanced scouting department, myself and Greg Bakaris are big helps in that realm. Skyler Shibuyama, my boss, he does a great job of providing us all the material that we need and going about it. But I'd say Greg and I do a lot of the kind of initial scan on these reports, and then we get it out to the coaches, and they're heavily involved as well. They do a great job preparing too. So our pitching group will also take a look at the hitters as we go into the season, the opposing hitters. And then our hitting coaches, Brownie, JD, and Tommy, also do a ton of work on that end. And then I would be remiss to say that the video department, led by Pat, he also, again, does a great job of compiling all the video, making sure we have access to it on our iPads, at home, on the plane, wherever we want to watch, and get our work done.
I do see Sam watching, like, Corey Seager at-bats on the plane, not Netflix. I mean, this is a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, the plane's a great time to get work done. And, yeah, Pat does a good job of preloading everything, so we're not at the whims of the Wi-Fi if it wants to work. So it's a good quiet space to get some work done.
How many more hours of baseball do you watch on your screen than do you watch in real life? Real?
Oof, I don't know if I even want to know that answer. But, I mean, like you said, it's a lot of video. I think I try to get up into the stands for at least an inning or two mm-hmm. during our games, because I think it's a good process to see what's actually happening on the field in our game, to see how the report that we delivered pregame is actually playing out in reality during the game. So it's always good to anchor yourself to what's happening on the field and not lose sight of how difficult this game is and how talented our players really are.
Yeah, and a lot of it, you're living in the future a lot. While the Mariners are playing a series against the Astros, their next one is against the Rangers, and that's who you're working on at that point, right?
Yeah. So at some points, you got to have, you know, one eye on the future report that you're building out uh-huh. during the game, but then also another eye on the current game against the Astros, for example. So you kind of got one foot in each world.
You mentioned a few moments ago Brant Brown, mm-hmm. Mariners' new bench coach, and yep. a new title within the org, offensive coordinator. He has an extensive hitting background, the Dodgers, the Marlins before coming to Seattle, returning to Seattle, was in the org previously. How has his presence and this new process that he is bringing impacted what you do?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, he's got a ton of experience in the game, both being a player and as a coach. So he has a ton of just intel that he's learned along the way that he's brought into our group, our advanced group, our hitting group. And it's been really helpful to hear not only how he prepares, which is, you know, top-notch and tireless, but also the elite players, hitters he's been around and how they prepare. It's not the same for every single one, but I think the commonality between it is they do their homework. They do something beforehand. It could be fairly light. It can be very heavy and in-depth, but they're doing something each game from opening day till the final game to get themselves in the right state of mind to go out and perform.
When you watch a game, do you ever say, that's not what I put in the report?
No.
They're always obedient, right?
Never.
They do exactly as you say they will do.
Yeah. No, and I want to push back on that. We're not telling players what to do. We are giving recommendations at times. We are filtering through the coaches a good amount. So once the game starts, a lot of it is kind of natural and instinctive for players, and we realize that and we acknowledge it, and we also know how challenging the game is. So, when we watch the game, it's, as a vested interest in seeing our guys perform, and we want to see them win, and that's what, you know, the whole report's about is putting the guys in position to perform and win ball games. So, yeah, there's not a lot of second guessing.
So, when we think of advanced scouting, I think we always view it as you're constantly looking at the opponent, mm-hmm. right? But how much of what you're putting together and how you think about it also is the Mariners' strengths and weaknesses against that opponent?
Yeah, that's huge. I don't think you can ever lose sight of that, because if a player isn't physically capable of doing whatever that opponent's weakness is, it's kind of a moot point. Mm-hmm. I think our advanced group, we spend a lot of time around our coaches, around our players, getting to know how they tick and what they do well, so that when we, you know, provide recommendations or provide breakdowns on opposing hitters or pitchers, it actually aligns with our philosophies. Dominating the zone, we'll never lose sight of that. So it's very important that we have a good finger on the pulse of our players and our organization.
You've been here for how many years now?
Entering my fourth season.
It does feel like there's a real synergy amongst the coaches' room. Brant Brown's been added. He's been new. Obviously, there's a couple additions on the hitting side, in fact. But it seems like Scott's been here now for going on his ninth year, right? The Mariners have so much in place in terms of processes and communication. How have you seen that continue to grow, develop, and positively impact the results on the field?
Yeah, like you said, the continuity has been great. The support starting from the top, from Jerry and Justin, and then Scott himself, obviously, in the coach's room, is huge for us because it gives us a platform. It gives us some room to speak, knowing that it's not the be-all, end-all, but it's our perspective. This is what we think. And the coaches take that into account when they're making their game plan, when they're making decisions. So the continuity, the trust, obviously that's huge, and I think that's something that builds up over time, which also allows us to experiment, to be creative, to try different things, knowing that either the first version might not be the most successful one and there's ways to improve, and there might be a little bit of a longer leash because we trust everybody, and we know that we're all striving to make the best decisions possible, and it can be messy at times, but ultimately we're trying to get to a good final product, and I think with the continuity and trust, that's how we've been close to getting there.
Okay, let's say the Mariners are about to start a series, and the opposition makes a couple of roster moves right before that starts. Is that...
Those are fun.
Are you ready for that? Or is it scramble mode when, say, a couple bullpen arms come up and you know in a series that you're going to see them at some point? Like, what does that process look like for you?
Yeah. Scramble modes, fire drills, whatever you want to call them. We're definitely familiar with them. And ideally, you find out as soon as possible. But, you know, sometimes that's not how it works. And you try to get, you know, just something out there, some type of information, and it might not be as thorough or in-depth as other players, but just whether it's as simple as their velo and what pitches they have, you know, that might be all the time you have. We try to pull videos so you can see what they look like in the minors or if they're on a different club. So, it requires quick, succinct communication between different groups, and whether it's a Twitter notification or a press release, we got our eyes peeled.
You sound like a broadcaster.
That's
Did
right.
you see on Twitter? They're making a move.
They're making a move. Who's coming up? Yeah. I don't know.
Sam, this is an elementary question. I think you've kind of touched around it. But when you prep for a series, and now this information needs to be presented to the players, is this you presenting to the players, or you present to the coaches and the coaches present to the players?
It's a mixture.
Okay.
It's a mixture, depending on the type of meeting and depending on the type of information. But yeah, sometimes it'll be directly from the advanced group to the player. Other times it'll be a room full of coaches and players, and sometimes it'll be singularly players. So it depends on the meeting, depends on the group setting. So all different ways.
Do you have a moment that sticks out? You put all this work together, right? All this time, all this energy. You have a moment on the field that played out like, yes, that's it. That was me. I mean, you don't have to take all the credit, but you know what I mean. I mean, to watch your work play out on the field.
Like, you knew Cal matching up against Acevedo you knew that was great.
Good players make good reports, and Cal's a really good player, so he makes us look really good. So, yeah, I mean, I think any of the smaller aspects, the subtle things on the field, whether it's a pitcher with a really good pickoff move and maybe we don't get picked off that night, or an outfield arm that might be playing down a little bit the last couple of weeks and we're able to take an extra base that Manny and Negron can put into play. I think that's gratifying because, you know, a lot of this bulk information is out there for everybody, but kind of the subtle aspects are only going to be picked up through painstakingly hard work, and I think that's what an advanced member tries to pride themselves on, and I think especially especially Greg. He's got an eye for detail and any of the small things, so it's always a big help.
The real question is, how did you not win the three-point shooting contest at camp this year? How did we finish? Where are you on the bracket? How deep of a run did we make?
I quickly turned into the official after my preliminary round went. It's kind of a broke jump shot,
really?
For being honest. Yeah, yeah.
What happened?
It's ugly. It's.
I have such fond memories of it.
Yeah, I'm a rhythm shooter, so need to see a ball go down, and if it doesn't, it feels like there's a lid on the hoop.
It's a quick exit.
Yeah, quick exit, but yeah, that was a lot of fun.
You did a great job running the tournament, though, so that was nice.
Yeah, I was happily tasked with it, and it was a good time. A lot of help setting that up, too, so good group effort.
I got to say, Casey Lawrence, that jumper was...
That's pure.
Yeah.
That's pure, and it was kind of a late development. I don't think a lot of the clubhouse or group knew that Casey was a collegiate basketball player at some point. So glad that got brought up at the end. And yeah, he had a great jump shot. So did JP. That was fun final battle to watch.
Sam, we enjoy our annual chat, and we are already counting down the days 1 year from now. Thank you for joining us, man.
Thank you for having me. A lot of fun.
There was Sam Reinertsen, coordinator of advanced scouting. We'll come back. We're going to chat with one of the newest Mariners, reliever Colin Snyder, that comes up right after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to Trident Talk on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
It's Trident Talk brought to you by Chevy Silverado and the all-new Silverado HD. We had a chance to catch up with Colin Snyder, newest Mariners pitcher.
Colin, it's great to be able to sit down and spend some time with you. You are new to the organization. You are off to a terrific start. What have been your, let's just say, your earliest days as a Mariner been like for you?
I've had a lot of fun coming into spring training, kind of not really knowing what to expect, just knowing that it's a good team. I've been on the other side of the field in Seattle for some games. I know that it's an awesome environment to play in, so I've just been really excited.
It's been so fun for us seeing a lot of success stories the last few years, especially in the bullpen. What have those conversations been like for you early on with the Mariners about what you do and how you go about it?
Yeah, so I want to maybe the second week of spring training, we had a pitcher's plan meeting. Again, I was very aware of like the success they've had with guys in the bullpen. And for me, that meeting really consisted of, hey, you have really good stuff. When you pitch ahead in the count, you get really good results. When you're behind in the count, which unfortunately has happened a lot in my career in the past 2 years, you get bad results. So it's basically trust your stuff, get strike one, and then just stay on top of the hitter from there.
That sounds so simple. It can't be as simple as that, right? So what is the key for you to do that?
It's really just like having confidence in myself, you know. I fine-tune my stuff, my pitches over the off season and in spring training. But just going out there knowing that, like, they give you, like, actual proof of, like, when you throw this pitch here, like, damage does not happen. Mm-hmm. So instead of going out there trying to be like, oh, this is a major league hitter, he's going to hit whatever I throw, it's actually the opposite. Like, hitting is very hard. We give hitters way too much credit, so we don't need to make it any harder on ourselves. We have the ball, we're in control. So just, like, kind of having that thought process of going out there and, like, I just trust it over the plate, and more times than not, good things will happen has been like a key for me.
Buck Showalter had this great saying one time. I'll never forget it. He said, I wish there was a machine that I could give to a pitcher to make them realize how hard it is to hit them. It sounds like that's clicked for you. Did that click here with the Mariners recently, or was that a little further back?
It clicked really this spring training. I want to say – Logan was warming up for a spring training game, and I was in the bullpen next to Tony, the bullpen coach, and he threw a splitter, I believe it was, and my jaw dropped. I was like, how do you hit that? And Tony looked at me and goes, hitting's pretty hard, man. I was like, yeah, like I've never stood in on a major league starter, especially someone to his level, like that close to the batter's box. And it was like, oh my gosh, that thing is like right on you. And then he throws a fastball, and it's like, mid-90s, releasing it halfway out of his hand to home, and I was like, okay. For whatever reason, that moment actually, stuck with me. So, hitting is very hard, so don't make it harder on yourself as the pitcher.
It sounds like that was an uncommon thing for you to do, to be near a bullpen session, at least in that proximity.
Yeah, usually if you're watching a bullpen, you're on the mound or behind the pitcher, kind of watching from that vantage point, but being in the batter's box, on the mound next to it. So very close, as close as I want to get. I don't want to get any closer. But yeah, it was a different viewpoint.
One of your former teammates with the Royals, Gabe Spire, obviously had a great year last year with the Mariners. How much of the conversations with Gabe have been an influence so far in your time with the Mariners?
Gabe's been great. We kind of talked a little bit last year when Kansas City came to Seattle. We chatted a little bit before the game, just like, hey, man, how's it going over here? You're doing great. Kind of, what changed? What happened? He's like, they just, the way that they believe in you and just, give you this plan. If you execute this plan, good things will happen. Mm. And so, that was even last year before I had any idea that I would be on a different team. And then as soon as I got claimed in February, I think Gabe called me, 2 hours later. It's hey, man, I'll see you next week. What are you doing for the Super Bowl? And then just, having him, a good friend to kind of help me throughout spring training, get comfortable with the schedules, the way things are run, helping me remember people's names. There's a lot of names. That was the toughest part. But Gabe's been great for me.
It seems like the buy-in from a pitcher's perspective in particular nowadays is instantaneous if you're new to the organization. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
It's very fair to say. I guess you could say the track record kind of helps with that process. They have the results to back it up. And in that same pitchers meeting I referred to, Skip said to me, he's like, what do you have to lose? And I was like, well, actually nothing. I was DFA'd twice in the offseason, haven't had the success I wanted to have. So for me, it's just kind of I'm all in regardless of what happens. So
Gabe has a 100-pound dog named Dax. Mm-hmm. You have an 85-pound golden retriever named Jax.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
They are buddies.
They are buddies.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
Yeah, they were together in the Kansas City days.
Okay, tell us about Jax.
Jax, he's 4 years old. He's me and my wife's first baby. He's the best dog in the world. Yeah, just a big cuddle ball, big ball of energy. Can do no wrong in our eyes. He's the best.
And where's home for you in the offseason?
Murfreesboro, Tennessee.
You mentioned your wife. You met in Spanish class?
Yeah, sophomore year of high school in Spanish class.
That's so great.
Yeah, that was in 2012. Funny story about that is, so this was in the second half of the year, so after Christmas, and it was obviously baseball season. And for whatever reason, we were having a really good year. I was pitching really good, and I was I can't have a girlfriend. So we were in this talking phase up until the season ended, and then as soon as the season ended, I was like, hey, you want to be my girlfriend for real now?
As a high school pitcher, you were so locked in you couldn't date?
I think it was more of just a superstition, not locked in, just kind of this silly superstitious thing. I don't know. I was 16, so.
You're dedicated. Did you tell scouts this when draft time came around?
I should have.
Hey, you mentioned Murfreesboro. I don't feel like I'm ever saying that right.
I know.
Break it down for us.
Murfreesboro.
Murfreesboro.
Yes.
It's exactly how it looks.
Exactly how it looks.
Okay. When I hear Murfreesboro, I think of David Price. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Was this a guy, your trajectory based on where he was as a big leaguer when you were, middle school, high school? Was this somebody that, the whole town idolized?
For sure. He was my favorite player for that reason. And then also Sonny Gray was in Smyrna, which was, touching Murfreesboro. Okay. So I had those two guys from a very early age, especially in middle school, this path of the county I was in, the school county I was in, to Vanderbilt, which was the big thing, was I just wanted to go to Vanderbilt. Mm. I didn't really have my eyes set past that at that age. I didn't think about pro ball really until the year I got drafted, honestly. I was just very much from day one, I just want to go play baseball at Vanderbilt.
I mean, for a kid in Tennessee who's a legit high school baseball player, Vanderbilt, I can't imagine a higher pedestal you could put a program on.
No, not at all. It is, hands down the best place.
So what makes it – obviously, they've got a track record on the field. Mm-hmm. But the things that we can't see that we're not privy to, what makes it such an iconic place for college baseball?
Yeah, so the facilities one, I'll start with the city. You're in Nashville. Mm-hmm. Nashville, especially now, is just the best place to be, especially in the springtime. But then the facilities that they have, it's always getting the newest, best, kind of like whatever you think you need as a player, like they have it before you even know that you need it. And then something that's been very cool in the last couple years is they have a full setup for alumni to come back. So all the pro guys, like we have our own locker room, we have our own lockers, we have full access from, you know, like 7 a.m. until maybe 1 in the afternoon, depending on their schedule, to anything and everything that they have. The weight room, batting cages, pitching lab, on the field, like whatever you need, like it's there for us.
You have a locker right now at Vanderbilt?
Yes, I do.
That's incredible. Yeah. What do you have? What's in your locker right now?
Right now, probably old glove and cleats that I just leave there in case I forget to bring mine like the next offseason.
There are so many guys in the big leagues, current active players from Vanderbilt. How big is this clubhouse, this locker room?
It's not big enough anymore.
There's too many.
Yeah. There's been a couple guys have to double up. But no, it's really cool. You know, you have guys like Mike Yastrzemski, Tony Kemp, Kurt Casale, Sonny will still come in, Dansby from time to time, stuff like that. So it's been cool, like, even being in pro ball for as long as I have and then having a couple years of experience or seasons of experience in the big leagues, still getting to talk to someone like Sonny Gray leading into spring training of just kind of like, hey, like, what do you feel like this time of year? And just it's a constant learning cycle, and then obviously seeing the, you know, him pitch and stuff like that, it's really cool.
Your repertoire, let's nerd out a little bit. I mean, I wouldn't say, at least from what we can tell from your past experience, your repertoire hasn't necessarily been overhauled in terms of the pitch type, but the pitch usage is much different. Can you expand on that?
Yeah, that's fair to say. So the first few years, I was pretty much sinker slider. The sinker has not really changed much, or, you know, just it's a good pitch and kind of just letting it be. The slider, I went from a gyro slider in 2022. Last year it was a combination of a gyro, so just like a short, tight, kind of like your stereotypical slider, to now being a true sweeper with more horizontal movement. And then the really big key has been adding a cutter. So I added a cutter towards the end of last year. Sometimes it was a four seam, sometimes it was a cutter, and now it's like it's been very consistent as like cutter range. And adding that pitch has like really helped me against left-handed hitters. That was kind of like one of my weaknesses in the last few years is facing lefties. They would just take the sinker the other way, or the slider is kind of hard to get back foot or whatever. So adding the cutter as like an in pitch, a hard pitch, and an up pitch at the same time has been very key for me.
What do you credit the development in that pitch to?
So I've kind of had like teammates in the past say, hey, you should try throwing a cutter. And I was like, no, like, that's not for me. I wish I'd listened to him. It kind of was a combination of a few different people at the time. Zach Bove, the assistant pitching coach in Kansas City, showed me the specific grip that I'm doing right now. And then I worked with Tread Athletics in Charlotte and kind of found the way to use it, how to be more consistent with it. And from there, it's kind of taken off.
Against a lefty, just makes them uncomfortable? Is that the idea?
I think so. Because, like, for me, being sinker slider, their eyes can be down in the zone. Or, you know, that's a game plan against a guy like me, is down in the zone. So this not only adds something where it keeps their eyes honest, but I can also crowd in on them going towards them hard instead of something that's going to be going away from them, or a sweeper that's going in towards them but soft.
In your mind, explain the reason for the sweeper revolution.
That's a good question. I think it's like when you ask hitters, like talking about some of the bullpen guys for Milwaukee last night, it's like you have to respect a mid to upper 90s pitch moving 15 to 20 inches one way. It's like it makes another pitch going 15 to 20 inches the other way even harder to hit. So you have to respect, in that case, 30 to 40 inches of movement at 10 to 15 mile an hour differences with 60 feet, 6 inches to work with. Going back to the very beginning where hitting is very hard.
Never forget that.
Yeah.
Does that pitch come natural for you? How did you develop it?
It does come natural. One of the things I learned over this past year working with Tread is like I'm considered to be a supinator. So just like the way that my arm unfolds in my delivery and the positioning of my hand, cutting the ball is natural for me, which blew my mind because I've never thrown a cutter until this year, but you know, seam shift and all this fancy stuff that we know now. Like, you actually cut the ball out of your hand and then the seam shifts it the other way. So throwing the sweeper and the cutter is actually like a very natural feel for me.
So seam shifting, the seam shifted. I don't know. this has been something that, like, for people who are really fans who are deep in the weeds, they've probably heard this on some very nerdy podcast and that kind of thing. It doesn't make the broadcast too often, but we've heard people in the Mariners community talk about this. Explain what seam shifting is in your eyes.
In my eyes, I'm probably not going to do this the nerdy or the proper nerdy way, but
make
it's
it,
just
make it relatable.
Yeah. So it's just like the seams on the ball just catch air out of your hand. So like the way that you release the ball isn't necessarily how the seams spin all the way to the plate. So the air, what they call it, drag on the ball, like hits the seams and causes it to move, whether it's right, left, up, down, whatever.
Did you ever take a physics class?
No. I still don't fully understand seam shifting. I just know that I do it.
That, I guess that's all that matters.
That's all that matters.
Yep.
When did you think you could be in the majors?
The year 21. So after COVID, you know, during COVID, I wasn't invited to the, like, official alternate site. We did, the Royals did something like a fall camp for, so I had a 1 month season. I spent 2020 working at a barbecue restaurant and throwing bullpens after. Yeah, little fun fact there. But then the next year, in 21, I was in double A and triple A. My velo was pretty high. It was like up to 99 a few times. My slider was really good. And just, I had a really successful year. I mean, if you look at my ERA in AA was very good. My ERA in AAA was inflated because of one bad game, but if you take out that game, it was like a 2 or 3. So, and I got protected or put on the 40-man that off season. But that was kind of like that year. I was like, okay, like I got the AAA. I was like, this is something I think that could actually happen.
Everything is going to stop now. We're going to talk about barbecue.
Yeah, I figured that would happen.
Okay. I actually have no idea what you just said. First of all, do you love barbecue more or less after working at a barbecue restaurant?
I think less.
Yeah.
Did you just smell like barbecue every day?
My wife hated it. Yes. So it was barbecue to work out and then immediately hop in the shower when I got home.
Yeah, the barbecue BO combo is pretty solid, man.
Yeah. It's great when you walk into the restaurant or like if you walk, you go like to the backyard and it smells like barbecue, but for it to be like stinged in your hair and your clothes, like
deep in your pores.
Yeah. You can't scrub it all the way.
Now, were there perks to a free amount of barbecue that you were given to eat every day?
Lunch every day. Okay. Or breakfast, too.
What was that like?
The lunch, I try to eat better, but it ended up being like a pulled chicken sandwich or something every day.
That's not bad.
Not always pork or some brisket. A big perk, though, I learned how to do everything. So, like, I got my own Traeger at home now, and whenever I want barbecue or just to smoke something for fun in the off season.
I mean,
know
I think
what to do.
Yeah, you bring up a good point and an obvious one I should have thought of. We need to discuss your role at this restaurant. I mean, were you in the pit? What were you doing?
Yeah, there was maybe four of us plus the boss, who was actually one of my dad's best friends. I did everything from making sides to prepping meats, putting meats on the smoker, starting up the smoker in the freezing cold at 6 a.m. You know, I had some elbow grease in there, so yeah, I did it all.
Does that put Big League Charter Flights in perspective a little bit for you?
Yeah. No doubt.
Like you could be in the pit at 6 a.m. right now?
Yeah.
Colin, this has been awesome. We so appreciate the time. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you guys for having me.
That's Colin Snyder, newest Mariners reliever. That's Colin Snyder, Mariners reliever. We got more Trident Talk coming your way. We're going to talk to Greg Green coming up. We'll talk about the upcoming homestand when the Mariners get back after the 3-game series against the Blue Jays. We'll do that when we return right after this.
You're listening to Trident Talk on the Seattle Mariners Radio Network.
All right, welcome back to Trident Talk. Great to have you back. As we welcome in Vice President of Marketing, Greg Green, with us. Greg, it's great to talk to you again. How you doing?
Good morning, Gary. Great to chat with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just hanging out in Milwaukee. You know, that's what people do. So
I don't think you could find a better place to be in April than Milwaukee. Yes. I think they write songs about that.
Usually we draw Cleveland and Minnesota in April. And I will say the difference with this, hey, there's a roof here and we're playing baseball. So
there you go.
Not always.
You're going to get them in.
Yeah, we know on this trip, same with Toronto. Like I'd prefer Toronto in the summer because it's a great place to go, but they have a roof too. So we're going to play. We know that for sure.
All set.
Great this time of year.
Play ball.
Yes, play ball. In fact, it's funny. This is a long distance trip, but pretty quick trip. We're going to be home coming up on Thursday, and I'm really looking forward to this homestand. Cubs for three, the Cincinnati Reds for three, which is a super exciting team. This is going to be a fun homestand.
Yeah, it's fun. Couple homestands coming in, and you know, I really haven't seen a schedule like this in terms of opponents that are coming through. You know, you mentioned the Cubs and you know, the Reds are a fun young team to see. And then we get the NL champ Diamondbacks coming back with Corbin Carroll making his first appearance back home since, you know, the All-Star game he made last July. And then you follow that up with the Braves, and they got the Giants and Mets coming to town in August, Phillies. There's a lot of intriguing matchups with the new schedule.
So one of the giveaways I'm super excited about right off the bat, which I know is not timed by coincidence, but hoodie night coming up on Friday against the Cubs.
That's going to be a fun one. First 15,000 fans Friday night against the Cubs. It's also a college night, $10 tickets there at mariners.com/college. And then the hoodie you mentioned, it's cool. It's the retro colors, royal blue and yellow, with little images of the kingdom and our retro logos on there. A really cool giveaway item. And it's a hoodie, but it's a lighter hoodie that you'll be able to bring back during the summer as well.
Ooh, I like that. I know there's a ton, especially when we get into the Red Series. There's a couple of really cool things going on.
Yeah, with the Red Series, what's great is that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, starting on April 15th, it's Jackie Robinson Day. The Reds are in town. Junior's former team, and all three of those games are bobbleheads, 15th, 16th, and 17th. For 10,000 fans each night, we'll pick up a Ken Griffey Jr. bobblehead. And it's also a value game. I mean, you can get into the ballpark for as low as $10 each of those games, get a bobblehead. You can also get a hot dog and a beer, or a beer and a soda for under $20. So it's a great way to get out to the ballpark and get a super cool giveaway item.
That's cool.
Coming back with Junior three days in a row. And then later in the month, we talked about the Diamondbacks coming into town that Friday, the 26th. We're doing our retro, or now retro, but still looking ahead, turn ahead the clock jerseys, the black, maroon, and silver ones, the sleeveless jerseys. First 15,000 fans are going to get that on April 26th. And then on April 27th, we're going to turn back the clock to the 90s, give away neon caps. Lots of great opportunities come out to the ballpark in April. And as we mentioned, the Braves come to town right after that.
Was there a specific year where turn ahead the clock was supposed to turn the head to?
Yeah, so we did it in 98, and we pointed it to our 50th anniversary, which seemed way off in the future, in 2027. And here we are, 2024, a couple years away now to our 50th anniversary. And, you know, there's no flying cars, and, you know, we're not wearing black, silver, maroon uniforms yet, but who knows, in a couple years we may be.
Gosh, turn ahead the clock is quickly becoming turn back the clock. This is all
the clock's all jacked up now.
That's going to be a super fun homestand, because the Diamondbacks, of course, in the World Series last year, and Atlanta after that, simply one of the best teams in baseball.
Yeah, and we all remember the last time they were in town, we saw, you know, Julio and Michael Harris go at, you know, head to head. The amazing come from behind walk off against Jansen with, you know, back to back home runs. And so it should be a really fun series against the Braves.
First Bark in the Park night too.
Bark in the Park is coming up. Yeah. At the end of April there, Mariners fans go check out all six of the Bark in the Park events at mariners.com/bark. As a reminder, you can bring your dog to the game. You get a ticket for yourself and for the dog. And then after the game, you get to go down on field and parade around the bases with your pooch.
I love it. Two really great homestands, great opponents, great stuff going on. This is going to be a fun month of April. Is there anything else people should have on their radar looking down further during the course?
Yeah, first half has got a few more great promotions coming up. Everybody loves the Pops, Funko Pop, for Cal Rally this year on May 10th. First 20,000 fans are going to get that one. We got the Pride Caps on June 1st. JP and the City Connect for his bobblehead on the 28th. And he has a little mini trident that he's holding. It's super cool. And then rounding out the kind of the first half of the year with a June 29th Aloha shirt giveaway, which should be perfect for your July 4th barbecues.
JP in the City Connect was a great choice because he looks great in that uniform.
He does. And he brought the trident to us. He's got the little mini trident in bobblehead form. It looks super cool. Pretty much everything JP does is cool, but fans, check that one out on June 28th.
Awesome. Anything else that we're missing?
I think Father's Day, you know, Gary, you and I will be celebrating Father's Day at the ballpark. Fans, come out to the ballpark. This is one of the most unique giveaways we're doing all year. The first 10,000 dads, Gary, have you heard about this?
No, I don't think I know about this. I can't wait.
Yeah. The first 10,000 dads are getting a seat cushion. And of course, who else but our own Cal Rally? It's going to be a big dumper seat cushion.
Yes. That's phenomenal.
You got to get that one on Father's Day.
That's a great way to celebrate Father's Day. Big dumper seat cushion. I will say that is unique. That's got to be a one of a kind.
Yes, that will be a one of a kind and a must have for any collector.
Oh, that's perfect. Greg, thanks for all the time this morning, and thanks for keeping us up to date. What's going on? Appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good luck this afternoon. Go get us a win.
There was Greg Green, marketing guru for the Seattle Mariners. We're going to come back, wrap things up, get you ready for the Mariners and the Brewers. We'll do that, and we return right after this.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.